Attention to anyone that's written a book or wants to write a book. The process is not that complicated. Take a first step. Even if you write a page a day, you'll build momentum and your book will become a reality. The hard part is getting it published. That's when you need to call Page Publishing. They've got hundreds and hundreds of thank yous from different new authors, just like you. They make the process of publishing your new book and getting it sold online a simple process. You can learn how simple it is right now by calling for your free Page Publishing new author submission kit. One quick 3-minute phone call, that's all it takes to get free information and learn how you can get your book published. Pick up your phone right now and call us 24 hours a day at this number. 800-603-0885. 800-603-0885. 800-603-0885. That's 800-603-0885.
You guys, it's Rick Tittle.
Hey, 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 what's going on? Great to have you with us. Rick Tittle with you. 1-800-878-PLAY. Why would I say that number? That's the secret code, y'all. It's the toll-free line to get in and have your say on sports talk on a coast-to-coast, around-the-world basis. Yeah, that's right. The sun never sets upon the Sports Byline USA broadcast network. Titillating sports for the next 3 hours. I'm your eponymous host, Rick Tittle. In the studios here, just blocks from DaBay, that's D-A-B-A-Y, on Broadway. The Southern neon lights are bright on Broadway. Sorry. Sorry, a little George Benson for you. Is this live? It is live. Friday mornings, we like to check in with our friend Jan Wall, who is the Hollywood lifer, insider. And she knows and reviews these movies and these stars, and we do a little entertainment talk with some very fascinating guests in the first hour. Second hour, we'll also have a triathlete. Third hour, we'll have comedian Brian Simpson. He's at Cobb's. We'll bring in him as well. The comedy club's starting to reopen again out here in California. You take the 405 to the 5 in California. 1-800-878-PLAY. Also, by the way, Spain just scored on a deflection against Switzerland. Hop Swiss. Hop Swiss. How about a country where your official languages are Romanche, Italian, French, and German? Four official languages. What was that first one, Rick? Romanche. We'll get into it later. We're on the TuneIn app, the iHeartRadio app, the Stitcher app, all apropos applications for receiving the programming. We stream through sportsbyline.com. Go there, click listen live, and emails rick@sportsbyline.com. Also, you can check us out social media-wise, Titillating Sports with Rick Tittle on Facebook, and the Twitter is at Rick Tittle, and we're on CRN Digital Plus 2, the cable radio network channel 2, 35 million homes. Homes. So we'll get the TGIF version of the show started. Come on back.
Having your own home is awesome, but it's also a lot of work. The good news? Finding help for your projects is easier than ever. Introducing Angie, the app that puts all your home care needs at your fingertips. Need a pro to fix that emergency leak? Maybe find someone to build a deck or even set your seasonal tasks on autopilot. Angie can handle all that and more. Expert pros, hundreds of home projects, clear pricing, and the easiest way to book and pay in seconds. This is Angie, your home for everything home. Download the app today.
Okay, we are running a car drive right now to help veterans all across America. So if you have an old car, truck, or van, even a motorcycle or an RV sitting around, you can right now give it away and help the vets. They really need your help. And your car will help support the vets and their families. And guess what? You even get a tax donation. Plus, we'll even come and pick up your car for free. And all you've got to do is pick up your phone right now and make a free call. Now is the perfect time time to do something good for the vets. Give back to the vets right now for all they've done for this country. And your old car can really help them. So call the Veterans Car Donation Program right now for free pickup of your vehicle. Help the vets and help your taxes at the same time. Call right now.
800-215-6812. 800-215-6812. 800-215-6812. That's 800-215-6812.
My doctor prescribed me Viagra. It wasn't covered by my insurance, so it was costing me like $65 a pill. That's expensive.
Over 20 million guys like us use Viagra. Over a certain age, we just need it. I found a way to pay less than $3 a pill and get virtually the same effect of the $65 pill. I heard an ad just like this on the radio called, and for $99, I got 40 generic versions of the $65 pill. Save yourself money and call right now and get over 40 pills for $99. There's no embarrassment here to use Viagra. If we're over 50, we need it, but not at high prices. Call now with your credit card and get the 40 pill special for just $99.
800-399-3691. 800-399-3691. That's 800-399-3691.
Hi, I'm Rick Tittle, and I host the Video Game Review every Sunday night at 9 o'clock Pacific, midnight on the East Coast, right here on the Sports Byline USA Broadcast Network. Video games are way more important than your job, your school, or your relationship, so let's talk about them. Everything from the 2600 to the 360. I don't work for any video game company, so I'll tell you what's worth your money and what stinks. Also, cheat codes, interviews, your calls, I'll give away a game, release dates, all that and more every Sunday night right here on the Sports Byline USA Broadcast Network.
Titillating Sports with Rick Tittle. Rick Tittle is a genius, the best show ever. He's so wonderful, genius, the best show ever. He's so wonderful. Titillating Sports with Rick Tittle. Rick Tittle is a, he's so handsome, he's a genius.
Thank you for that, and welcome to the show. Rick Tittle with you, and let's start it off, of course, with our very good friend, Jan Wall. How you doing, Jan?
I'm doing great, Rick. How are you?
Not too shabby. Let's get right to it, and let's get to our first guest, and it is a veteran of stage and screen. It is the Broadway star, Francis Ju, and he's here to talk about the San Francisco Mime Troupe's Tales of the Resistance, Volume 2, Persistence. It is an original radio serial, which is going to begin here on the 4th of July and run through September 5th. And first questions first, I have to say, as everyone else listening would be, is how do you do mime on the radio, Francis?
Yes, that was my question when they called me about it. For many decades have been called the San Francisco Mime Troupe using the sort of classical definition of the word mime, which is the same root of the word for imitate, and that is to provide archetypes, to provide exaggerations of daily life, to provide sort of a social commentary, political commentary. So it's theater as a reflection of life.
Oh. Is this connected to... hi, this is Jan Wall. It's really great to talk to you about this. First of all, the history of the Mime Troupe is so cool. But second of all, I mean, I was sort of part of that back in the day in San Francisco, you know, hippie days. But,
oh, yeah.
But the Mime Troupe is very important. But I wanted to know, is this connected at all to the great radio serials, you know, of yore that we just hung on all the time?
Absolutely. They're using this radio serial as a way to comment on what is going on today, what is most on our minds now, you know, COVID, the shutdown, political turmoil, white supremacy, Black Lives Matter. But at the same time, they're using these classic radio serial styles like murder mysteries and classic romances and stuff like that, adventure stories that people used to listen to. So each episode mm-hmm. will have a storyline, and then we'll have another skit based on a particular historical event or on a particular part of American society. So you get more than just one storyline with each episode.
You know, we all, at least people my age, you know, growing up, Marcel Marceau, the only guy to talk, and Mel Brooks' silent movie with one swear word. And then when I was a kid, I really liked the Shields and Yarnell variety show. But since Shields and Yarnell, right around the bicentennial, haven't heard a lot from mimes lately. What's going on in the mime world?
Well, what's amazing is that the San Francisco Mime Troupe, ironically, will not be silenced. They when the shutdown happened, all theater across the country was shut down, and for the last 15 months has remained shut down, the entire industry. But the troupe, which used to tour to various parks and public areas with their shows, decided to do radio plays. In that fine tradition of radio plays, and has been able to reach audiences way beyond the Bay Area because of that. They have they started these serials last summer, and they're reprising them this summer, starting on July 4th, Sunday. But last year they had people from all over the world listening to their stories. So they've actually increased their reach. Yeah,
I just can't wait, because one of the things I love about radio serials, and I think you'll agree with this, Rick, is the sound effects are so amazing that they can do in these radio serials. I mean, it truly is theater of the mind. And secondly, the Mime Troupe has always been known for this really incredible dark wit. And so mm-hmm. I think that'll be part of the scene, too. Are there good sound effects?
There are, yeah. I haven't even seen all of the scripts yet. We have mm-hmm. one last episode to record next week. Mm-hmm. But what I have seen of the scripts, they have written in all of the Foley. That is the sound effects that are provided.
Right.
And some of the sound effects are provided by our voices, even. Mm-hmm. So, it's going to be wild. I can't believe mm-hmm. it. And you know, the San Francisco Mime Troupe, I get so excited by them. They're just, you know, they've won a Tony, they've won an Obie. They've always prided themselves on being both agitation and entertainment. Mm-hmm. They've always been a theater that is meant to open people's minds to new ways of thinking. And what better way than on the radio, where audience members are not just listening to a story, but are also providing the costumes, they're providing the lights and the scenery, and even the casting in their own minds. They're having to use mm-hmm. their brains while listening, I'm surprised by how engaged I am when I'm listening to a play.
Let me tell you my favorite mime moment, just for fun. And it was in it was years ago in Paris, and it was in a square. People were sitting around, you know, having their coffee outside, what have you. And a mime was walking around doing lots of little comedy bits and, you know, bugging people, but everybody else was laughing. But my favorite moment was this older woman, and she was holding her husband's elbow, and just for a second she like took her hands off to look at some flowers or something, and the mime ran over and stood next to her. She grabbed his elbow, she walked like 50 feet with him, and then she turned and had the most like, and she screamed, but the rest of us were just dying with laughter. To me, uh-huh. that was the height of mimetry, if that's a word.
And my height of mimetry is seeing Marcel Marceau and getting to interview him. And do you know that he became a mime as a child because it was Nazi Germany that had taken over his town in France, and the Nazis were just waiting for French kids to, you know, round them up and kill them. And instead, he learned how to mime with his brother so they could never hear their voices. The Nazis could not hear his voices. So there's a real seriousness to Marcel Marceau's story.
Yeah, French Resistance
Absolutely.
Got the Croix de Guerre.
Helped
people escape mm-hmm. into Switzerland over and over again, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Marcel Marceau is really, aside that I grew up watching him, but, you know, I also remember so much of the mime troupe because they were so radical. I mean, God, the things they used to do in Columbus Park, you know, there on North Beach.
Mm-hmm.
They used to just make us, I mean, they're just, like you said, it's theater of sort of agitation, and that's fun. And I really look forward to hearing this.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear what people think. I mean, the storyline that I'm involved in, I'm playing an Asian-American Antifa activist who is put in jail for resisting arrest, and I share a cell with a radical drag queen. And so, of course, in mime troupe, you know, tradition, it's a classic love story. and we get broken out of jail by members of a white nationalist domestic terrorist cell, and so we sort of infiltrate this white supremacist group by accident. It's exactly the kind of thing the mime troupe does, is getting, you know, people together and seeing mm-hmm. what happens.
All right. Well, it's Tales of Resistance, Volume 2, Persistence, and it's from the San Francisco Mime Troupe. It's going to start here on the 4th of July and go through September 5th. And for more information, go to sfmt.org. We've been speaking with Francis Jew. Francis, thanks for coming by, and have
thanks,
fun with
Francis.
It.
Thanks, Francis.
Thanks so much, Rick. And Jan, I have been a fan of yours forever. I am just so honored
honey.
To speak to you.
Great.
Thank you, dear. I appreciate it, and I appreciate what you're doing.
Very cool.
Thank you so much.
We'll take a quick break. We'll come on back with Rick Tittle and Jan Wall.
Do you need to sell your home? If you've sold a home before, you remember how stressful and expensive it was. Sold.com is here to help you sell your home for the most money and with the least amount of stress. There are new ways to sell your home that you've never heard of before. Did you know there are companies who'll offer you cash for your home? Did you know you could trade in your home for a new one? Did you know there are realtors who'll sell your home for a flat fee instead of an expensive commission? It's true. Sold.com services are free. So if you're looking to sell, make this free phone call right now and learn how your next home sale can be faster and easier than you ever thought possible. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 800-449-1759. 800-449-1759. 800-449-1759. Again, that's 800-449-1759.
Matthew.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay. I just need you to listen to me.
I know that a lot of times, Mom, it might not seem like I'm listening to you, but I am. I hear you. And what you say really does matter to me.
I mean, let's be honest. No kid likes rules, but I get why we have them. I hear you, and I know it's because you care.
All the talks we've had over the years, including what you've told me about not using alcohol and other drugs, they stick with me. And believe it or not, they really do make a difference, especially at times that matter most.
Hey, want a drink?
No, thanks, I'm good. So thank you, Dad, for talking and preparing me for what's ahead.
Thanks, Mom, for never giving up and always being my biggest fan.
Thank you for letting me know what you expect, so I can try to meet your expectations.
Thank you for talking.
For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
If you or a loved one is suffering from a physical or emotional condition that has left you unable to work, then listen carefully. Take this number down. 800-593-7491. That's 800-593-7491. When you call, you'll speak with a Social Security disability expert and get a free evaluation to see if you may qualify for disability insurance benefits from the U.S. government. That's right, a monthly cash payment paid directly to you from the Social Security Administration. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied disability benefits, call now. The disability attorneys at Pinnacle Disability can help you build your case, file an appeal, and represent you at no upfront cost to you. Don't wait another minute to see if you may qualify for your Social Security disability benefits. Call Pinnacle Disability Group at 800-593-7491 for your free case evaluation. That's 800-593-7491. 800-593-7491. Call now.
I'm not insightful enough to be a movie critic. Maybe I could be a food critic. These muffins taste bad. Or an art critic. That painting is bad.
I'm so disgusted by Rick Tittle that I find him very intoxicating.
All right. Thank you for that. And welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle and Jan Wall with you. And during Sundance, I interviewed a couple of actors who were in a movie called First Date. And now as it opens today at Landmark's Shattuck Cinemas, a place where I grew up going to movies in Berkeley and at the Tower Theater in Sacramento, and also on demand. It's a movie called First Date, and one of the co-directors, Manuel Crosby, is with us right now. Man, what was it like during the pandemic to shoot something and the almost like, you know, put it out piecemeal and now to finally get it into a theater?
Well, it's definitely an amazing feeling to finally have this movie done. We shot this movie we wrapped shooting just before COVID started. So fortunately, we were completely out of the woods on that. It did impact some of our post-production since our team was kind of spread out actually across a couple of different states. So there was kind of some delay there and a little bit of logistical challenges in figuring out how to collaborate remotely, but it all ended up working out. So we're really, really stoked with where it's all ended up.
Yay! I love it when people use the word stoked. Just not used enough.
Oh, good.
Anyway, Manuel, this is Jan Wall, and I haven't had a chance to see the film yet. Can you just tell me a little about it? Because First Date, I mean, I've had some bad first dates.
Well, hopefully you've never had one as crazy as this one. So it's about a kid named Mike who wants to take his crush, Kelsey, out on a first date, and he buys his first car in order to do so, kind of at the pressure of his best friend, Brett, but his choice of vehicle actually lands him in a crazy night of trouble because the particular car which he ends up buying has a extremely checkered backstory and all kinds of unsavory people attached to it. So it's kind of like one of those one crazy night adventure stories. It gets pretty wild and out there, but it's a lot of fun.
And this is with some very young actors who were, you know, they had other jobs, and I think you guys filmed it up in Sac, right?
We filmed it in Valley Springs, California, which is about an hour east of Sac, and everybody, including myself and my co-director Darren Knapp and the cast and crew, we were all working day jobs at the same time, so we were kind of filming around everybody's schedules and juggling that, and that was probably one of the biggest challenges of the production.
With these young actors, and you're the co-director, sometimes I get frustrated when I interview young actors and actresses because they don't seem to know anything about the past of Hollywood, and they're really great people. You know, the only person I ever met who actually wrote down all these names that I was throwing at him of great stars that he, you know, that he could learn about acting from is Matt Damon. He seemed to be interested. So, really interested. Do you find that these young people are easy to direct? Do they want to learn? What's your take on that?
Oh, yeah, they are absolutely really hungry to learn and just, you know, they're sponges. They soak everything up with Tyson Brown and Shelby Duclos, who are our two leads. This was the first feature film they had ever been in. So, you know, everything was brand new to them. You could see them, like, learning and growing as actors every day. And, you know, they're going home and doing research on actors that they love and doing that, you know, study that you were talking about, the study of the craft, and it did help, mm-hmm. too, that we had a few more experienced actors on the set who actually had pretty detailed scenes with them. For example, Jesse Jansen, he's another local actor, but he was probably the most experienced actor on mm-hmm. the set, and he had some one-on-one scenes with those two young actors, and you could actually see how they were learning from him, even during the rehearsal. So it was really fun to kind of put them together and work with mm-hmm. them. But I had a great time working with all the actors on the film. It was a real joy. A
couple more questions for Emmanuel Crosby, co-director of First Date. I say co-director because, as you mentioned, your buddy Darren Knapp did it with you. And, you know, believe it or not, every once in a while in sports, we'll have co-head coaches. I remember Liverpool Soccer Club had Gerard Houllier and Roy Evans, and that lasted about 2 months. So I know he's your buddy, but usually you need one chef. So what's it like with two chefs?
Well, in our case, it was actually very easy because of the way I think that we both kind of, first of all, got into filmmaking, but also just, you know, our friendship. We bonded over the same movies. We have similar tastes, similar style. We had talked about this story a lot before shooting it, so we were kind of on the same page to begin with, and then it was really just a matter of, you know, dividing up responsibilities, and I kind of became, I guess, the lead communicator, if you will, kind of like, you know, filtering everything out to the cast and crew that needed to be done. And Darren was really focused on making sure the story continuity was being followed and things like that. But as far as, you know, how we kind of started making films, I mean, it was just a collaboration. We both kind of came from the DIY school of filmmaking where you wear multiple hats anyway. So, you know, directing a film could also, you know, imply shooting it or, you know, doing the sound. You're your own grip. So it's kind of just like both of us had that background. So even on the kind of the toughest day, we knew that between the two of us, even if we had no additional help, we could shoot a scene. And I think that's mm-hmm. kind of just why we sort of shared that title. It was never really much of an issue, to be honest.
You said you bonded, you and the director, you and the co-director bonded over certain mm-hmm. movies that you both loved. What would be a couple of those?
Oh, well, one of them is Robert Rodriguez's first movie, El Mariachi. We were both just really inspired by how he, mm-hmm. you know, kind of put that together. We both love, you know, Tarantino stuff, Pulp Fiction, and mm-hmm. You know, Reservoir Dogs, Jackie Brown, Coen mm-hmm. Brothers movies, even like, you know, Spielberg stuff, George Lucas. Mm-hmm. We're both Star Wars fans. So mm-hmm. we kind of just had this instant bond over those types of movies, and mm-hmm. we just had.
And finally, just one last question before I lose yeah. you. What did you edit on? I'm dying to know. How did you edit this movie?
We cut it in Adobe Premiere Pro, and I did the rough cut on my laptop by myself, but then after that, we hooked up with another editor, Zach Becerro, who is in El Paso, Texas, and he collaborated with me to kind of tighten things up using the same program. And
And you could do it all on the internet. Wow, it's so great because, man, back in my day when I was editing, it's nothing like that. So good for you. Good.
So
what a time.
Yeah, and I was thinking, too, that, you know, when you make something like this and you actually get people to get eyeballs on it, the actors, this can be a springboard for them, but it can be a springboard for you guys as well. So what's the reaction been like? And have people said, we like what we saw and we want you to do this?
Yeah, the reaction has been amazing. I mean, more people saw this movie than we ever thought. We never expected to get into Sundance. We never expected it would have such a huge audience. But, people have, you know, come calling. There's nothing I can talk about in great detail yet, but there are some things in the works that are really exciting, and doors have opened that we only ever dreamed would open for us, especially off of our, you know, our first movie, which we made in our hometown. So it's really, really exciting, and we hope to have more coming your way soon.
That's Emmanuel Crosby, co-director of First Date, opening today at the Shattuck Cinemas in Berkeley in the Tower Theater. up there in Sacramento, and on demand as well. You can go to firstdatethemovie.com for more information. Manuel, congratulations, and thanks for stopping
by. Congratulations.
Thank you so much for having me.
And Jan, we just have about a minute, and I was going to ask you, when we had Francis Ju on, and he said, well, I'm going to play an Asian American. I thought, oh, no, there it is. You know what I mean? Because
what do you mean? What do you mean?
Well,
Rick,
what I mean is in the cowboy and Indian westerns, the white guys played all the Indians. And nowadays, to even think, even on the radio, for a white guy to play an Asian, it's like they're going to burn down the city like the protesters. I don't know. And I mean, to me, acting is acting, you know, you shouldn't have to be that thing. You know, like you have to get someone who has high anxiety to play someone who has high anxiety now. It's so, but I don't know.
Really?
It just, well, that
wow. Let's redo the Mel Brooks movie. And
I know. Dr. Richard Thorndike.
I want to be Nurse Ratched. What was she? Nurse?
No, Diesel.
Wait, Diesel. I want to be Nurse Diesel with the pointy bra.
I'm sorry. That was the TV that disturbed you.
Hey, good.
Those who are late do not get fruit cup.
Right.
Yes. Grace. Anyway. But you know, Hollywood nowadays, because I remember there was a woman who was cast as someone who had Asperger's, and it's like, no, you have to get someone who really has it. And I'm like, well, isn't acting trying to be something that you're not? I mean, I don't know.
Well, you know, I remember we had Sid Gannis on, the great producer, and he said the whole idea is just to make it for everyone, so everyone has a chance. So a child with Down syndrome has a chance to play a child with Down syndrome. Somebody gay gets to play somebody gay. I'm for both sides of that question.
Come on back with Rick Tuttle and Jan Wall, y'all.
My doctor prescribed me Viagra. It wasn't covered by my insurance, so it was costing me like $65 a pill. That's expensive.
Over 20 million guys like us use Viagra. Over a certain age, we just need it. I found a way to pay less than $3 a pill and get virtually the same effect of the $65 pill. I heard an ad just like this on the radio called, and for $99, I got 40 generic versions of the $65 pill. Save yourself money and call right now and get over 40 pills for $99. There's no embarrassment here to use Viagra. If we're over 50, we need it, but not at high prices. Call now with your credit card and get the 40 pill special for just $99.
800-399-3691. 800-399-3691. That's 800-399-3691.
The double play.
It's baseball season and you're ready to go all out. So you ordered the essentials to make game day a success, like a jersey, a power recliner, and a bigger screen. And you used your Bank of America customized cash rewards credit card, choosing to earn 3% cash back on online shopping. Rewards that you put toward an essential piece of the celebration, an air horn. Apply for yours at bankofamerica.com/more rewarding. Copyright 2021, Bank of America Corporation.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Get more miles on the road with O'Reilly Auto Parts. A clean fuel system means better gas mileage for your car. Right now at O'Reilly Auto Parts, get two bottles of Lucas Fuel Injector Cleaner for $8. Plus, earn double O rewards points. For a clean, lubricated, more fuel-efficient system, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Ron Barr here. Now that people are getting out and exercising more, I want to recommend Relief Factor to you. Relief Factor helps those exercise-related pains and general muscle aches and pains. Now, if you're going to be working in the garden, you're going to be using your hands a lot. And if your hands hurt, listen to what Julia Brown had to say about using Relief Factor.
I had pain in my hands that kept me from work and doing projects around the home. I heard about Relief Factor on the radio and began taking it, and it left me with pain-free hands again. I was able to do the things around the house that I enjoy doing. I'm so glad I found Relief Factor.
100 million Americans suffer from ongoing pain due to aging, exercise, overexertion, and the effects of everyday living. Be sure to check out Relief Factor at ReliefFactor.com or give them a call at 800-500-8384. That's 800-500-8384.
I'm just a caveman. Your world frightens and confuses me.
Rick Tittle wants to hear from you. The phone call is free, y'all. Just dial 1-800-878-PLAY to get yourself on the air right now. Call him up now, lazy ass. 1-800-878-PLAY.
I don't think you should be butting in when I'm talking to my team. You're my assistant, okay? You're supposed to back me up and go get me juice boxes when I tell you. Now go get me a juice box.
You know who you're talking to.
I'm talking to the juice box guy.
You're crazy.
Well, I'm not crazy.
I'm just thirsty. Why don't you go to hell?
No, you go to hell. While you're there, why don't you grab me a juice box?
I'm no juice box boy, I'll tell you that.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
All right. Thank you for that, and welcome back to the show, Rick Tittle and Jan Wall. We're waiting on our next guest. When we get him, we'll throw him on the air. Jan, it's
just
interesting.
Just call me the juice box girl. That's how I want to be. That's my aspiration.
That
you know
was Will Ferrell and Mike Ditka in Kicking and Screaming, which is a really good movie. When you were talking about how some of the young actors don't know Hollywood history, you reminded me of a story. Mark Norman, who's one of my favorite young comedians, Jerry Seinfeld recently asked him to open for him on the road, and he said the thing that he loves about Mark was that he knew about Carlin and Pryor and Dangerfield and, you know, even going back to Alan King and Lenny Bruce. And and that's what he loved about him. He was a young guy, but he really appreciated the history of stand-up. So that's something that, that resonates with you, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, I'm sitting and nodding my head like crazy because that is so important. I mean, would an architect not know who Frank Lloyd Wright was? I mean, why would you not know that stuff? And, you know, how important, God, to not know Rodney Dangerfield, one of the great comics of all time, to not know George Carlin and his amazing ability with words. That's just wrong. And for some actor not to know, you know, who Bette Davis was or who... you know, Spencer Tracy was. I mean, to not look at those performances, it's just stupid. It's just stupid. It makes them kind of one-dimensional.
You mentioned that time, and we talked about it before a long time ago, about Matt Damon, but, you know, he was hungry to know about a lot of it.
That's right.
If I asked you, look, I have a young actor here. He's 20 years old. What three or four names would you throw at him first?
Yeah, well, I mentioned Spencer Tracy just now because, for those who don't know, this was an actor in the 30s through the 50s that was amazing. And what he did that was so different, and Bette Davis as well, is every single line reading they had felt like the first time they had ever heard those words. Nothing came out of a script. Everything was organic. And you believed it all the way through. So I would tell people, also I'd say, watch Robert Mitchum. Watch this very languid way of being that was so believable. You know, watch some of these older actors. They're just remarkable. And they just kept the believability going. And, you know, when I say people haven't heard of people, I talked to a young actor, I don't know, a few months ago, who didn't know who Fred Astaire was. I mean, there's no excuse for that.
No doubt. You know what, when you said Spencer Tracy... Because I'll ask you the same question. When you said Spencer Tracy, the first thing that popped into my head was Bad Day at Black Rock.
Yeah, well, that's a great one. He was older when he made that, like he was when he made Judgment at Nuremberg. I mean, he did, and guess who's coming to dinner? I mean, he did a lot of stuff at the end of his life. Bad Day at Black Rock happens to be great. One of the reasons is one of my favorite actors in the world is in it, Robert Ryan, who, if you want to watch something really edgy and tough, you know, Robert Ryan is just remarkable. Also Ernie Borgnine, who kept it all natural. I did a cruise with Ernie, and he was the most amazing man to know, but nothing like his character. So again, it's this idea of keeping it natural yet delving into the character where it comes out as if, as I said, they're reading, they're not reading the lines, they're saying them as if they just came into their heads for the first time.
I once wrote on the Matterhorn with Tova Borgnine. No, I made that
oh,
up.
Oh, she's a doll. I loved her.
Also, Spencer Tracy, you know, I think about, and he was really old, but it's a mad world at the end.
Of course,
but
that was the end, yeah.
I want to ask you about, you talked about the 30s. Clark Gable, Spencer Tracy, Spencer Tracy, and Jeanette MacDonald in the movie San Francisco.
Right, right, and that great earthquake. Okay, so Clark Gable plays Blackie Norton, and he's running all the he's running the most famous nightclub there in the down there in the bad part of San Francisco, right? and so he's just a sexy guy. And it's great for young actors to look at Gable in the 30s like this because he was so hot. Yet at the same time, you just loved the guy. He was so rugged and masculine. Now, Tracy is the good priest, which he played a lot because he had this kindness, which in real life was not at all what he had. In real life, he was a terrible alcoholic and really bad problems. But anyway, on screen, he was this very kindly man. And then Jeanette always gets on my nerves. She just gets on my nerves.
A couple more questions. We're talking with Jan Wall. And if you'd like to chime in, our guest isn't here, so it's at 1-800.
Oh, good. Okay.
878-PLAY. You know,
I just love good acting, Ricky. I love it and admire it. I admire it so much. Like Benedict Cumberbatch now. Yeah. We talk about people now. Or Toni Collette. Who's in this marvelous new film you can get on the internet called The Good Horse. She just always delves into her character. And she's also funny. She could be so funny in a movie like Knives Out. So did you ever see Knives Out?
I did see, yes.
Yeah, it's funny. It's a funny movie.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of those old Hercule Poirot movies back in the day.
Exactly, except you have James Bond playing Poirot.
Right, instead of Peter Ustinov.
It's Daniel Craig. And people should really check out Knives Out if you just want to laugh. And also look at the acting. A comedy is hard. Dying is easy. Comedy is hard, right? comedy is hard to do.
I mentioned Clark Gable and Don Rickles, who I love, always told the story because he worked with him one time. And he said, everyone thinks he's a great actor, but he's the same guy off the set because he would go like this. Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. Then they go cut and they go, who wants to get a sandwich? He's like... He said he was just being the same guy the whole time. But in a way, and this is what I tell young broadcasters, too, try as, and I know it's different with acting, but I go, I say, just be yourself, because if you put on a fake radio voice like this, it's too much work to not be yourself.
Right. And it's not different than acting. It's not. What you just said is exactly what acting is. Find yourself. Be yourself. Oh, my God. If you want to be successful. You know, I've been successful. You've been successful. Well, it's all because we found a way to be ourselves. And good acting, I mean, yeah, okay, Gable was that way. Mm-hmm. But, my God, I'll take that way.
So what is it about Jeanette MacDonald that bugs you?
Oh, does she bug me? I can barely watch her. She just seems pretentious. See, I don't buy her. I buy Gable. I buy Davis, you know, a Crawford, you know. People forget Mommy Dearest. There was a whole group of great Crawford movies in the 40s and 50s. Amazing actress. But if someone is pretentious and doesn't seem to find themselves, you know what we say about finding your real core. Find your core. Find out who that person is and be it. And she doesn't seem like she's doing that. She drives me nuts.
Very interesting.
We have
our guest now, and it is Carson Mell, and he's here to talk about his new movie entitled Some of Our Stallions, which opens today, video on demand, and in several theaters as well. Carson, welcome to the program. I know you wrote this, you directed it, you starred in it. This is about as much as your baby as a movie can get, huh?
Yeah, I'd say so, definitely. Yeah, I also edited it. So.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yes,
I appreciate that.
You know, with an independent budget, if you want to stretch it, you gotta wear as many hats as possible. So that's how we arrived here.
Can you tell us a little what the movie's about?
Yeah, it's about, well, it's funny. I just came into what you were talking about, finding the true self or what have you. What were you guys talking about? It weirdly relates to the movie, so.
We were talking about great acting, and also I mentioned Toni Collette. Now, she has a movie out called A Good Horse. Is that any connection to you?
Maybe on some kind of psychic, supernatural level, but not planned. Yeah, well, Some of Our Stallions is very much about, it's on its surface, it's about these two characters who eventually encounter a third named, their names are Beautiful Bill, that's the character I play, Andy, and then Bonnie. And they're all people who are grappling with mental illness. But I feel like the wellspring of their mental illness is an inability or a refusal to conform. I think about that a lot in how you have to to what extent you're willing to conform will a lot of times determine the level of success you have, and socially and economically, and how if you're unwilling to conform, you're often labeled mentally ill. You know, and either imprisoned or put into a mental institution. So I have a lot of compassion for people who struggle with that. But at the same time, that sounds very serious. I also made the characters kind of, they're goofballs. It's a comedy. I have a lot of mental illness in my own family, and I don't like when movies with the mentally ill depict them as that sort of being the center of who they are and all there is to them. I wanted to just show nuanced and goofy characters that also had that as an aspect of their personality. So
I like the fact that, you know, when someone asks you who's going to play Beautiful Bill, you're like, oh, that'll be me.
Yeah, I had a lot of ideas. It was funny. Back to that, having people in my own family deal with this stuff. I noticed when directing actors, I was trying to get them to a level of mania that I'd seen exhibited in my own family, and I think people thought it was over the top. And I was like, "Well, okay, this time I can jump in there and just imitate my, you know, family members."
Well, we want to let everybody know. Sorry, we're out of time, but it's going to be a good job getting Gravitas Ventures to distribute it. That is a huge thing. It's called Some of Our Stallions. Opens today, video on demand, and in select theaters. We have been speaking with the writer, director, editor, and star of this movie, Carson Mell. Carson, congratulations on the film.
Thank you, Carson. Good job.
For gas bag and soapbox, I appreciate it.
I am Rick Tittle. We'll take a quick break. Come on back.
Attention timeshare owners. This is an urgent consumer alert from the Timeshare Exit Hotline, a national company specializing in helping consumers legally get out of their expensive timeshare contracts. We're offering you a way to legally get rid of your timeshare. So if you're fed up with the maintenance fees that keep on coming and want to learn if you can terminate your timeshare legally and permanently, call today. Even if you've tried before and were unsuccessful in getting rid of your timeshare, call today and see if we can help. We offer a complete 100% unconditional client satisfaction guarantee. Make this completely free call and learn how we can help you legally put an end to your timeshare nightmare once and for all. You have nothing to lose, so call right now to qualify and receive a free consultation. 800-880-7167. 800-880-7167. That's 800-880-7167. Paid for by Airtime Media.
I'm going to tell you how you can get real health care for as little as $6 a day. Yes, now you can get affordable health care for you and your family immediately and save as much as 50% off your current monthly health care payments. Our plans are perfect for people that are self-employed, can't afford health benefits where they work, or just want to pay less for their current health care. And coverage is guaranteed regardless of your medical condition. We even offer some of the new Christian faith-based health benefits. Save up to 50% on your family's health care. Make a free quick call now. There are no contracts, and we give you a 10-day money-back trial period. Call Provision Enrollment right now for your risk-free guaranteed health insurance quote starting at $6 a day.
800-472-5145. 800-472-5145. That's 800-472-5145.
I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this, but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-338-6906, 800-338-6906. That's 800-338-6906. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
What kind of music do you usually have here?
Oh, we got both kinds. We got country and western.
Tittle ate 200 chicken wings at yo mama's house last night. Now, back to Fat Boy.
Oh, that's messed up. All right, a couple of minutes left with Jan Wall. Some recommendations? Anything you've been watching, Jan?
Sure. First, I want to apologize to any Jeanette McDonald fans who may love opera. I'm not kidding, Ricky. Sometimes I talk to people, you know, I give all these talks on Zoom, and just gave a big one last night on Zoom, and it's all about Hollywood history and scandals and all this great stuff. And people tell me they got turned on to opera and opera singing because of Jeanette McDonald and Elsinetti and Jeanette herself. So, you know, everybody's got a different thing. It's just my, you know, that's what's so fun.
Sure.
It's just to be critical thinkers. So anyway, I mentioned a movie called The Good Horse, and it's based on a true story. I love movies on true stories, about true stories. I just love it, like sports movies about true stories. Love that. And so this happens to be a sports movie because it's about a racehorse and a town in England. And they all adopt a racehorse, and it really happens. The whole town is broke, and they decide to pour all their money together, pool it together, and they get a racehorse as a baby, and then they develop it into a real racing giant. It's great. It's called The Good Horse, and it's on the internet now and on pay-per-view, and it's with the great Toni Collette.
You know, yeah, I remember her in Muriel's Wedding.
Oh, love that.
And what's funny
the
is
town.
That, you know, she was very shy and kind of homely and chubby.
Right.
And who would have thought that she would be one of our most prolific act and just an American accent down pat, an English accent, and just everything.
And so funny. Knives Out. She steals Knives Out from all these great actors.
Yeah, very versatile
actress. Fantastic. Yeah.
Art,
I love Muriel's Wedding. I love that. You know, that takes place in a town called Porpoise Spit. I always thought that was a really good name for a town.
Didn't at the end the mom like steals some like slippers and then she...
Let's not tell people.
Oh.
Let them go see Muriel's Wedding. God, why don't you just blow it
all
for
right.
them?
All right. Well, at the end they threw water on the witch and she melted. So,
no!
I gave it away.
And
the Titanic
and
sank. And Chewbacca died. No, Chewbacca didn't die. Anyway, yeah. Jan, as always, thanks for your insights, and we'll do it again next week, kid.
Look forward to it, Rick.
All right. Bye. That's Jan Wall, everybody, and we got another 2 hours. Come on back.